Come and worship center. We are live here on this second Sunday of 2023. I appreciate you all being here in the building. Thank you all for joining online, on Facebook, on YouTube. Listen, I need you to get excited at home because we are in great expectation for a mighty move of God. And we just believe God for the year of much, that we're going to experience his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love and kindness, and that God is going to move in a mighty way. Amen. So we just believe God this morning. So I want you guys to like, share, and comment as we go forward on today. And we're just going to open up in prayer this morning, just saturate the atmosphere. I know you said, look, we done prayed at 6 a.m. We prayed at 9 o'clock in intercessory prayer. We're going to pray again. Amen. Why? Because there is power in prayer. Amen. And we expect God to perform and do miracles in our life. Amen. So those of you all in the building, if you can, just stand to your feet. Amen. As we begin to offer praise and worship unto his holy name. So Heavenly Father, we come before you today, God, to give you praise, God. We come to bless you this morning, Father God. We come to, Lord, to worship and adore you like never before, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy on today, God. We thank you, Lord, for this new day, God. A brand new day we've never seen before, Father God, that you have filled it with new mercy and new grace on today, God. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you will begin to fill this place with your presence, God. That you will begin to saturate our hearts this morning, Father God. That we come in, Lord, with the spirit of expectancy, Father God. That we come in, God, seeking you on today, God. That, Lord, you may begin to use us for your glory on today, God. For we are willing vessels on today, God. We're yielded and surrendered to you on today, God. Lord, build us up on today, Father God. Strengthen us where we're weak on today, Father God. Encourage those who are discouraged on today, Father God. Bring forth the joy of the Lord, God, that it is our strength on today, God. And we trust and we lean and depend on you on today, Father God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith on today, God. We ask you to saturate this atmosphere, Father God. Stir up this place on today, God, with every gift, every call, God, every anointing, God, that you begin to place upon our life, Lord, that it will be stirred up right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we speak blessings today, God. We speak hope today, Father God. We speak favor on today, Father God, that you will lift us up on today, God, and we will begin to experience your oneness, God. We will begin to experience your kindness on today, God. We will begin to experience your strength on today, Father God. Bring forth healing today, Father God, for those who are in a battle in their body, God, for those who are challenged, Lord, in their lungs, in their breathing, God, those who are dealing with COVID, God, and those symptoms of influenza in this season, God, we ask you to heal their body supernaturally on today, God. Those who may have pneumonia, God, remove the mucus and the fluid, God, off of their lungs on today, Father God. Open up their breathing passages, Father God. Lord, we expect miracles today, God. We expect signs and wonders, God, that your glory will rule, reign, and abide upon our life on today, God. Lord, heal, God. Manifest miracles on today, God. But you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed on today, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're supernaturally moving in our life on today, God. That you're bringing forth peace on today, Father God. Lord, every area where there's confusion, where there's torment, God, I decree and declare that peace shall reign right now in the name of Jesus, God. That there will be no worry, God. There will be no stress on today, God. There will be no anxiety on today, Father God. But Lord, you said that we shall cast our cares upon you, Father God, but you care for us on today, Father God. And Lord, we thank you on today, God, that we can lean unto you on today, God. But you said to lean not unto our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all thy ways, Father God, and you shall direct our path, God. Order our steps today, God. Allow us to be led of the Holy Spirit, God. Allow us to yield to the Holy Spirit's instruction on today, God, that you may release your power in this place, God. That, Lord, we're going to see created miracles on today, God. We're going to see blind eyes open, Father God. We're going to see deaf ears hear again on today, God. That we will see the lame walk, Father God. That we're going to see, God, the mighty moves of God manifest in our presence, God. For, Lord, we trust you, God. We believe your works on today, God. We believe your promises, hands on today, Father God. That, Lord, we decree and declare that greater works shall be done, God, through our life on today, God. That, Lord, you have gone, God, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and you've given us the Holy Spirit, God, the Comforter, God, the one that leads us into all truth on today, God, our guide on today, Father God. We thank you this morning. We praise you this morning, God. Lord, I'm excited on today. I need somebody to give God some glory. I need you to give God some praise. I need you to thank God on this morning that I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you've gone through, that there's still yet a praise on the inside of me. I thank God that even as we declare this morning, it's by God's grace that I'm still here. It's by his grace that we're still here. If it had not been for God's grace, where would I be? Oh, his loving kindness towards me, his tender mercy towards me. God, you're my redeemer. God, you're my healer. God, you're my way maker. God, you're my lawyer in the courtroom, God. You're my doctor in the sick room, God. Lord, you're my peace when everything around me is in confusion, God. Lord, you are my rest, God, when my mind is wandering, God, and I don't know what to do, God. I thank you this morning, Father. And Lord, we lift you up and make you large in this place. Oh, we come to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. For you said to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. Oh, I believe we got a house full of praisers today. I believe we got a house of worshipers today. We got a virtual church that's full of worshipers and praisers. I need you right in your living room to bless the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, as the sound comes. Oh, we come to lift him up today. Oh, we expect God today. Miracles, signs, and wonders, God. We love you, Father. Come on.
Come on and make a joyful noise all over the room. Hallelujah. Yeah. We love you, Jesus. Hey. Listen to this.
Just gonna say Happy New Year to everybody. I haven't been here in a minute. Happy New Year, and I speak blessings over everybody in the house. One thing that came across this morning, and it is all new. Everything that's been passed in 2022 is now 2023. Go forth. Go forth.
Rise!
grace, it's grace. Only by his grace that he kept me. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise. Oh, you can do better than that. I said give God a hand praise. Give him some thanks in this place. Give him some glory. I'm telling you, you ought to thank God that you're still here on this 8th day of January. That God blessed you, that you opened your eyes this morning. He put activity in your limbs this morning. God kept you and watched over you all night long. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, God is faithful, amen. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, amen. So we give God praise. We thank God for his presence. We thank God for the sound and the praise team, amen, and going forth on this morning, ushering in God's presence. And so we're going to move forward in our service this morning, amen. Welcome, welcome again, amen, to Family and Friends Day, amen, on this Sunday, the second Sunday in January in this year of 2023. God has blessed us in the year of much. Amen. And we're already experiencing his goodness and his overflow of what this year is, what we're expecting and anticipating throughout the course of this year. Amen. So listen, it's our time to give. Amen. So let's give God some praise for giving. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you all who need an envelope in the building, please raise your hand. Brother Terrence will supply you with an envelope. Those of you all who are watching online, amen, you can go to our website, www.newcovncwc.com. Click the Give tab. You can give on today, wherever the Holy Spirit leads your heart to give. Our tithes and offering, our benevolence, and our outreach for 2023. We're believing God for increase, amen, and for overflow and favor in our lives as we sow. The word of the Lord says, give, and it shall be given back to you. Press down, shaken together, run it over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. You got to have an expectation for that. Amen. It's better to give than to receive. Amen. And God said he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Those of you all who have the Easy Tithe app, that's your easiest means of giving. Amen. You can go to your app, open it up, and sow your seed. Those of y'all who don't have the app, go to your app store, look for Easy Tithe, download the app, look for New Covenant Worship Center Joliet, and you'll get everything you need to set up your account and be able to give anywhere, anytime, all over the world. Amen. Those of you all who still use the mail service, amen, you can put your seed in the mail, 2423 Glenwood, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. We will gladly accept your tithes and offering in the mail as we thank God for our postal workers, amen, that are committed, amen, to delivering in the cold, the rain, the heat, and the snow, amen, that they make their earn their worth, amen, living in Illinois, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's some good giving music right there. That should pump you up to put two more zeros in there. I know it. You had $1. Go ahead, put some more in there. Go ahead, $100, $1,000. It just pushed you right there. I know it. That beat just hit you. You said, oh, my God, let me go back and change it. Hey, glory. Yes. Come on. Don't be ashamed to get that $1,000. God don't bless you. He don't bless you for it. Amen. God, we believe in God, and we'll be able to give $1,000 and be like giving away 100. Amen. Just like that. Just sow the seed. Amen. And give it. Not even looking back. Thank you. my right, amen. If you prepared your seed to sow, come on and proceed from the rear to the front to sow, amen. On next time, God. Lord, we speak life, we speak blessings, we speak hope, God, over these seeds today, God, that they will continue to be used for the work of the ministry, for the building of your kingdom, God. And we decree and declare a 100-fold return upon our life as we sow on today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God a hand praise. Come on with our announcements this morning. Amen.
Saints, how y'all doing this
morning? Amen. Good morning. Praise the Lord. You have your mic right off the top. That's a good thing. Amen.
Yes, you know, my sister reminded me, so I'm
praise
so thankful.
The Lord.
Yes.
Teamwork.
Teamwork. That's what we are. We just work as a team. Well, good morning to you all again. How y'all doing? Y'all looking all lovely and healthy? Oh, praise God. I feel good just looking at the smiling faces in the house this morning. Amen. Welcome, welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. We want to welcome our visitors in the house this morning. And thank you very much. We want to welcome our visitors this morning to New Covenant Worship Center. We are happy that you chose this place to worship this morning. You are now welcome. All righty then. Happy, happy birthday to our January birthdays, and happy, happy anniversary to our January anniversary. Okay, now let's get going with these announcements. Praise the Lord. The fast this week was so awesome for me. I maintain, y'all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I maintain. I'm glad everybody is with me on that one, because, yes, you know, that was, you know, I'm getting better. So this second week, y'all, it's going to be even better, okay? Because, you know, I'm getting a little fruit and some juice, okay? So wait, here we go. January 9th to the 15th is our fast, okay? And we're going to fast from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., fruit, juice, and water. On January 16th to the 24th, we're going to, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., oh my, that's going to be a challenge. But we're going to work that out. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we're going to be fasting with juice, fruit, nuts, water, and one small salad. Mm-hmm. Now, Mm-hmm. I'm gonna check on y'all though. All right. So we have Holy Spirit devotional for the month of January. Is that correct, Apostle? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For the month of January, and the link will be mailed to each and every one of you for this Holy Spirit devotional for the month of January, 2023. Every Tuesday is men's prayer on the conference line at 8:30. You know what? I'm sorry. I need to back up. Because every day we're going to be every day, 6 a.m., is the prayer on Facebook Live.
Amen.
On the conference line, the number is, wait a minute, let me start over. I'm sorry, y'all. Every day at 6 a.m., we're going to have prayer on Facebook Live and on the conference line. The number is 605-313-5109. And the code is 107-9264. Okay, now I can go back down here to every Tuesday is the men's prayer on the conference line at 8:30. And Thursday is our Bible study at 6:30. Saturday is movement ministry meets in the church parking lot at 7 a.m., weather permitted. Sunday is Sunday school at 9 a.m., and Sunday morning is worship starting at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Apostle has a couple of events coming up for the month of January. On January 17th at 6:30, Apostle will be doing an opening prayer at the City of Joliet Counselor Meeting. Awesome. Bravo. That's awesome for the power.
Yeah.
And the address for the event on January 17th at 7:30, where he'll be praying. 6:30. The location is 150 West Jefferson Street in Joliet. And then the second event that Apostle has coming up is January 29th at 3:30. And it is a New Horizon Ministry Church, and it's their fourth year anniversary of Pastor Al Jenkins Jr. and First Lady Evangelist Kimberly Jenkins. And that address is 1451 West 79th Street in Chicago. So let's go out and support Apostle on these two events, January 17th at 6:30 and then January the 29th at 3:30. All right, saints, I think I have covered everything. Let's rise to our feet so we can get this hearty, hearty word of the day. I know it's going to be hearty. We're going to be fed real good today. Now, at the podium is the one and only, the amazing Apostle Jonas Jones.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. We appreciate you all may be seated in this presence. Amen. Y'all who do not know, that's my blood sister. Amen. We related. Amen. So all the jokes and the laughs, amen, it's all well. This is what we do, amen, but it's a good thing. Listen, before I don't want to forget some things, so I want to do it now so that way I won't forget it later on. Mr. Tone, there's your all's operation off for the month of January. Let's see. Come on up, Brother Deacon. Ryan. Adam, raise your hand. Just be one of y'all. Sister Barbara, raise your hand. Gloria Sellers, raise your hand. Minister Caesar, you'll get one. They on the board.
Miss Jackie.
You won't want to get for Miss Jackie. Okay, you can mail her hers.
Mother Sutton,
raise your hand. Give one to Brother Vincent, raise your hand. Give one to Mother Charlie. Amen. That should be enough right there. Those got your hand out. Lord, you can have one. Yeah, you owe. That's your vision packet that's printed up. Amen. If anybody else may need one that I didn't call, the Nichols, they need one. Just raise your hand. You got to be like of age. The young folk that you know, you get access to your computer, you can work your stuff, you're going to be all right. Amen. It's okay. But some of those need to see it right there in black and white. Amen.
Amen.
There's no problem with that. Sister Sam, you want one? I'm not saying it. You know, you can have one. There's no problem. She's still young, though. You know, she's young. Give Sister Gwen one. Give Sister Gwen one. She young, too, now. I ain't gonna start on stuff with the ladies. Now, y'all, hey, I know what it is. Sister Bridget Horatio, she has her hand up also. Amen. I got some more pictures. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. I'm gonna get these out of the way. I forgot last week. You can get that out the way. It's going to be good. Listen, I thank you guys who've been tuning in for our prayer at 6 a.m. It really has been a blessing. The testimonies have been coming in and God's been performing miracles. You need some more, DeGrant? And it's been well. I'm telling you, just God moving and just touching the lives of his people. I'm encouraged, amen. We saw the first miracle with the football player, Brother DeMar Hamlin, amen. I just thank God for him using things in order to bring light to his name. Amen. He brings light to his name through those particular types of things. Amen. Because everybody around the world, the country, were praying for this man and for us to see him get off of a breathing tube, get off that ventilator, and to begin to talk and have conversation, be in his right mind. Amen. Y'all, you don't realize how powerful that is. That man was dead for 8 minutes. He wasn't here, amen. He was dead, amen. They was on that field dying, amen. But I'm telling you, God restored him and resurrected him. And so we're just grateful and thankful for all that he has done. It was another pray for my sister-in-law. She was having migraines and different things. God healed, amen. Another woman, her son has been in the hospital in a coma. And for I know over a month. And just signs of him just moving his hands. She had been seeing those things. But for the first time, I texted her. Well, she had texted and said good morning. I said, expect your miracle today. And she said, I believe. And she said, that day, she texted me back later. She said, he blinked. And he had never blinked before to her. And I'm telling you, it's just the power of prayer and what we expect God to do. And I'm telling you, and next week, I got to hold the testimony because it's amazing. Amen. I was, you know, so ready to shout because I told Pastor Nisa, I said, when this testimony is we find out for sure. We know for sure today, but tomorrow we're going to know for sure. I got to wear my jogging pants and my good gym shoes because I'm going to tear this place up. I'm telling you. I told them I had to just let everybody sit on one side, move these chairs because I'm just going to run it out. Amen. At least 10 laps. Amen. But I'm believing God because it's already done. I'm telling you, God is faithful. Amen. Another young lady, amen, has gotten a new spine. They thought she was going to have cancer of the spine. Yeah. God healed, amen, supernaturally. I'm telling you, these are real life testimonies. This is not anything that, this is people that we've touched, that we know, that we've seen God's hand move just in this week. I'm telling you, only 7 days of prayer have gone forth, and we just believe in God for miracles, signs, and wonders for your entire life. Amen. That God's going to do it. Amen. For each and every one of us. He's no respecter of person, you all. Amen. If he did it for you, he'll do it for me. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Amen. Amen. Listen, all right, let's get into this word so we can leave down from this place. Amen. I know we got college championships today and tomorrow. Amen. And some football, the last game of the season for the regular season sometime today. So, it's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. Your Bears will not make any playoffs. Amen. It's over. It's done. It's finished. Amen. It's been done a long time ago. Amen. You just watching for sport. Amen. Just for... no purpose in what you're looking at. Amen. But just keep them in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke 24. Then we're going to go over to Acts chapter 1 after we read this. We're in our new series, Where Are the Believers? And we opened this series up last week and we began to share in 1 Timothy about how the various things of his responsibility as a young pastor and giving instruction on how he should operate and how he should move and flow to be an example, to be able to draw in believers and to live an example before the people. If you're going to lead them, you have to be an example. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul was instructing him on some things, and we begin to share that the reasons why the believers have come to a place where we're going to see them in operation, in our seats, in our sanctuaries, is because there's a responsibility on the church. There's a responsibility on us as leaders, amen, where we have not demonstrated and been the example, shown what holiness and righteousness and living right looks like. And so it begins to be a struggle, amen, for people to get into line in alignment with God when they don't see an example before them. So we have to be mindful and prayerful that if you're in leadership and you're in that position, you have to be conscious of the choices and the decisions that you make, because you have influence over people. Amen. And so we have to be mindful of that. So let's go to Luke 24. And we're going to get into some of the meat of this series today. Luke 24. Let's look at, I'm in the New Living Translation. Let's look at verse 50. Jesus had been resurrected. He had been showing himself to the disciples. And in verse 50, it says, then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all that time in the temple praising God. I love this, because as Jesus had blessed them, he had released a blessing upon them as he was preparing to leave. Because as we move forward as believers, we have to go in the power of Jesus Christ. We have to go in his name. And God has commissioned us to go forth. And the Bible says they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. Filled with great joy. As believers, we should have joy. Yes. It should be something in us that should begin to change the atmosphere of somebody that may be down today, that someone may be going through some challenges. Your smile should make a difference for them that day. Your attitude should make a difference for them that day. I love the fact that so many people ask me, why are you always smiling? Because why should I frown? I mean, why should I frown? I may have some challenging days, but why should I sit in here and come in here and look all distraught and look all messed up? No, that's not going to change my situation. So I might as well have the joy of the Lord, which is my peace and my salvation. I might as well smile about it. He said, because I'm trusting that he's going to bring me out of it. And it says, and they spent all their time, not some of their time, yes, all of their time in the temple praising God. Uh-huh. Believers should find themselves in his temple in the time praising God. And that's where we have to get to that place and get to that desire, that we have a desire to be in the temple of God and the sanctuary of God amongst the saints in the congregation praising God. So let's go to Acts chapter 1. Where are the believers? Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1, I'm still in the New Living Translation, NLT version. It says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Oh my God. And he talked to them about what? The kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So listen, here it is. In this opening few passages of scripture, Luke is writing and he's sharing and he's talking about the things that have transpired and how Jesus has shown himself over 40 days after he's been resurrected to do what? Prove to them that he was alive. There has to be a witness that Jesus Christ is the resurrected one, because everybody else who serves other gods, their God is still in the grave. Buddha hasn't been resurrected. Muhammad hasn't been resurrected. Jesus Christ is the resurrected Savior. And so there had to be people that he had to be around to prove and show that he was the risen Savior. And he was giving instruction to them. He said, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Believers are in a position that we have to know that we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be in a position to be able to operate in that, move in that, and allow allow his power to be demonstrated. And see, this is where the enemy has come on attack, because we are not demonstrating his power because we've been taught erroneously concerning the Holy Ghost, but concerning the Holy Spirit. We haven't been taught thoroughly. We've been caught up in all the doctrinal religious things that's attached to the Holy Spirit, and we haven't truly been taught to understand the assignment and the functionality of the Holy Spirit. And so when we begin to gather that and get that understanding, we're going to see the signs and wonders that they see in other countries, where they see people come together and supernatural healings happen, supernatural miracles happen right before people's eyes. Why? Because they believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. So where are the believers? Believers have allowed the enemy to come in to take their belief in who the Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
You got to believe in him if he's going to operate through you fully, if he's going to use you to be able to bring forth light to those who are in darkness. How can the Bible says that the darkness does not comprehend the light. And so we as light, we begin to diminish darkness when we show up. But if you're not operating in the Holy Spirit, that darkness will overtake you, and you'll find yourself at a place to be in a bondage and be in a situation and be in a struggle and be in a place outside of God's plan for your life. Amen?
Amen.
He says, so when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I love this because one of the commentators I was reading, John Carson's, his commentary, at this verse right here, he said, when he spoke about the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. He said, there's certain things that we're just not going to know. And people have spent so much time trying to figure out the timeline of when Jesus is coming back.
Come on.
They're trying to figure out, and all throughout scripture, he keeps telling us it's not our business.
Right.
He keeps telling us that it's no man knows the day nor the hour. And we're constantly trying to figure out and pinpoint it and make this thing happen and say it's coming tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the evening and it's going to be a sunny day and the clouds won't come out. All these various things, but the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. Listen, Jesus said, I don't even know. He said, because the Father sets the dates and times. And when God has set the day and time, that's when he's going to allow me to come back. And then that's when I'm going to crack the sky and do what I'm called to do to come back. He said it's in him. So we have to get out of the fact to think in the comments that said, you don't have to know everything. And be accepting of that fact. It's some things you're just not going to know. It's just some things, you know what? I don't have the answer to that. And you have to be confident and reassured enough that you can tell somebody, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. Now, if I can find it, I'll try to find it. But if I don't find it, you know what? I don't know. I don't have the answer to it. Because everything, some people get so caught up in trying to figure out those things that don't even matter. And that's where it comes about when we talked about in Timothy, when he talked about to avoid those vain babblings and those particular dissensions among brothers, where you're trying to quarrel over various things that don't even matter. You're trying to figure out, well, the dinosaurs were here, Adam, before Adam, or was Adam here before the dinosaur? What difference is it making you still beating your husband upside the head? If you can't love your neighbor and love your spouse, if you can't love God, the Lord thy God, with all your heart, why are you concerned about a dinosaur, whether he was here first or second? What difference is that going to make in you bettering your life and you becoming a better believer to exemplify the love of God? See, we get caught up in things that do not matter. So he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. Listen, God gives us experiences that we go through so that we can tell people about Jesus. We can tell people about his work in our life. The things that you struggled with, the things that you overcame, the things that that God brought you out of, you become a witness about him. And we have a responsibility to allow ourselves to tell people about it everywhere we go. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 9, after saying this, He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go up. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here we go, y'all. It says, here are the names of those who were present. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Now, I want you to grab hold of this, and I want you to use your imagination, because here it is. The apostles and the people of God, Jesus has ascended unto heaven, and they found themselves in the upper part of this house, in this room. The believers met together. They were constantly united in prayer. I need you to grab hold of this, because constantly united in prayer. Prayer develops oneness and unity. And when we establish the importance and the value of prayer, we can now remove some of the division and the strife that attacks our ministries. And see, this is why you don't have a lot of people that come to a prayer meeting, because they haven't understood the value and the power of prayer. We negate its power because we're looking for these instantaneous results. And as soon as we pray, we think it's supposed to be the microwave, that when I pray it, it's done. And it's finished. I want my answer. I'm going to move in it. It's going to happen. No. The Bible says you have to believe. What's some things you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You have to now leave your prayer time and walk it out by faith. Amen. And so here it is. They were all together and were constantly united in prayer. The believers have got to the point and place where they don't want to get together no more. The reason why, because we've stirred up so much offense, we've stirred up so much strife, we've stirred up so much jealousy and envy, we talk about one another, we gossip about one another, we throw salt on each other, we talk down to one another, and so now believers don't have a desire to be in fellowship, because they say, you know what, I didn't get saved to have mess. Oh, it's real quiet in this sanctified Pentecostal Baptist church in here this morning. Because if I'm going to see all of that, I can stay in the world. I'm not saying that the church is going to be perfect, where you're not going to see offense, where you're not going to get offended, or you're not going to have some issues and struggles with people, because we're human. We're not perfect. But what I'm saying is that you have to understand that we should be growing and maturing, that we should see less of that once you get to the house of the Lord. Can I help somebody get free this morning? We should see less of that as we're in the house of the Lord. So they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. If you're constantly united in prayer, you ain't got time to gossip with nobody. You don't have time to backbite. You don't have time to lie. You don't have time to sow discord if you're constantly in a place of being spiritual. But what happens is the enemy keeps coming at our shoulder and keep whispering in our ear, get in your flesh. Get in your flesh. Go do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Go talk about it. Do it. Go say it to him. Do it. He keeps busy. He keeps twisting the nail, as Minister C said. He twists the nail until the nail gets to the point of place, and you just operate and you flow in that flesh. But look what it says. He says, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Now, I love this fact, because Jesus' family was gathered there in the place to be able to be a part of that. They were now coming together and on one accord. Now, his half-brothers, they at first initially didn't even believe, but they saw him resurrected. And so those are the hardest people for you to win to Christ is your loved ones. Then the hardest people for you to win to Christ is the ones that's in your family, because they know your dirt that don't nobody else know. They know the stuff that you used to do and how you used to do it, and they can't believe and know that you've truly been delivered, that you've truly been changed. And sometimes that's the hardest fight, the ones that are closest to you. But you got to be in a position to know that, you know what, I'm saved by God's grace. I'm not going to be concerned about how you see me, how you view me, how you think that I should act, but I'm going to act according as the Holy Spirit leads me, and I'm going to live a life before him, and my life is going be a witness to you. Just keep watching me, baby. I guarantee you're gonna call me up and say, pray for me. I guarantee you're gonna call me up and say, can you help me with this situation? Can you give me some wisdom? Can you give me some direction? Can you give me some understanding? Why? Because they see your life being guided by God. They see your life changing before their eyes. And so they're gonna be in that struggle where they don't realize that, you know what, if I would just surrender, I can have what they have. Right. Verse 15, he said, during this time when about 120 believers were together in one place. It's hard to get 120 people together on one accord.
Yes.
Shoot, you can't even be with your wife. It's rough. During this time when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. Judas had brought a field with the money he received for his treachery, falling headfirst there. His body split open, spilling out all his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the Aramaic name Al-Kadama, which means field of blood. Peter continued, this was written in the book of Psalms, where it says, let his home become desolate with no one living in it. It also says, let someone else take his position. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as what? A witness of Jesus' resurrection. Now, scholars have debated and said that you know, Peter was in his flesh. He did not have to go through this process and try to choose a replacement for Judas, and that he had that God had kind of was already preparing and making way for Paul to be the next apostle to take this particular position in place. But this particular part right here, where it says to be a witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, that I just believe he wanted someone else that was going to validate who Jesus was in the resurrection, because he was going to have to come up against people who, you got to understand something, somebody that's died, been buried, and came back, that's hard to believe, y'all. Just imagine in the 21st century, somebody telling you that they come back from the dead. You're going to be looking at them like, no, you were never dead. That's what you're going to be looking at them like, you're crazy. You can't be real. And so you have to imagine how hard it is to try to convince someone to believe in somebody that died, that was buried, and that rose again. So he said they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they all prayed. Before they made a move, they prayed.
Come on.
I'm encouraging you. Believers should be praying before you make a move.
Yeah.
Before you make that decision, before you choose that thing, stop and ask yourself, have I prayed about this? Have I asked God for counsel and wisdom in this? He said, then they all prayed, oh Lord, you know every heart. He said, show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry. For he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become the apostle with the 11. Listen, they prayed. He said, God, you know their heart. Mm-hmm. We have to get out of the space of trying to figure out someone's heart. That's God's job.
Yeah.
See, some of us allow people, we hold people at their place where we found them at. You may have found someone in their struggle with adultery. You may have found someone in their struggle with perversion. But as you allow God, God said, I know their heart. I know the intent of man. I know that heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. But God is going to begin to change the heart as long as we give opportunity and space for them to get into the presence of God. When you block people from getting in his presence, how are they ever going to change? How are they ever going to be renewed in their mind? How are they ever going to be transformed if we never allow them in the presence of believers? And so we have to create an atmosphere. And this is what they did. They were consistent in God's presence.
Yes. United in prayer.
Let me give you this, and I shared this with the intercessory prayer team this morning. What this commentator has shared about what prayer is. And then I'm going to tell you some things about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get ready to close out. And I'm going to minister to a couple of people. We're going to go home. Is that all right?
Yeah.
This is what prayer produces. This is from the commentator John Curson. It says, prayer produces unity, and unity empowers prayer. When you pray with people, you experience a glorious unity that allows a greater release of blessing. That is why Jesus said, if two or three of you agree in prayer, there's a dynamic release and things will happen. Let me read it to you again. Prayer produces unity. So this is why intercessory prayer teams are so important, Because when intercessory prayer teams, when they come together in a small setting, as they were today, the team that I was down there with, and so this begins to develop oneness and unity where you have a trust with another believer that they're going to pray for me, they're going to intercede for me, they're going to have my back, and they're going to be there to support me. Even when they're not praying on that one Sunday of the month, it's all the times where they can pick up the phone and say, you know what, I got something going on, I got something happening, can you pray with me? Because prayer develops unity.
Yeah.
And if I can unify you in a small group, when we come together collectively, we're more powerful.
Come on.
Y'all missing this. So if we have a fellowship in a smaller setting, when we come together corporately, we won't have so much struggle with dissension.
Yeah.
I'm missing it. So there's purpose behind it. This is why we switch teams up and we bring in new people to the team to give them that exposure and give them that opportunity. When you can hear the people pray and you can hear the things and how they grow, how when they started, there's some people that I'm using Deacon Ryan as an example, because when he first started that thing and he got into a prayer team, he would pray at one level, but God has extended and graced him where he's at another level. Why? Because if you constantly, consistently do something, you should grow in that thing.
Yeah.
If you've been on your job 25 years, you shouldn't be at the same level as far as your knowledge or wisdom at that particular job. You should be at the place where somebody can come ask you, well, what is this? And what's happening with this? How does this work? Because why? You have time in. You have more time and experience in that situation so you can help someone. So the same as it relates to prayer. Prayer brings unity. And it says, and unity empowers prayer. So if we're together on one accord, it's going to invoke and allow my prayer to become that much more powerful. Because I can't pray and we ain't on one accord. How are we going to pray and touch and agree when we're in disagreement? How are we going to pray and try to bring something to agreement with Jesus Christ when I don't like you? I got an attitude with you. No, when we get into that setting, I leave all that stuff behind. I get over that, because sometimes you got to get put under pressure and you got to be around some folk that you don't like until, you know what, God said, I'm going to work on you because I'm trying to build some patience in you. I'm trying to build some kindness in you. So that person that keep turning the nail, it might be an opportunity for God to work some compassion in you. Oh, y'all, it's, ooh, we got, nope, Brother Isaiah over there didn't even get an amen out of him. Brother Isaiah like, man, you didn't tell me I got to deal with that joke. Just keep frustrating me, amen. Because why? Because Jesus had to do the same. He constantly was ridiculed. He was constantly badgered, constantly talked about, constantly called a Beelzebub and the devil, and he was not the Son of God. But he yet stood and he stayed the course. Amen. It says when you pray with people, you experience a glorious unity that allows a greater release of blessings. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessings to be released upon my life.
Yes.
And so as the intercessory prayer teams come together, as they're praying for various things for the ministry, you don't even know what they're praying for, but you got to know they're praying for you.
Amen.
Because when I don't even know what's going on and what's happening in my life, God got somebody behind the scenes praying for me. God's got somebody interceding for me. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. And he says, that is why Jesus said, if two or three of you agree in prayer, just two. If you can get somebody else to agree with, that's why you got to understand. If you can come together with your spouse and you're married, I'm telling you, that powerful right there, you got the greatest covenant, that covenant in the earth that exemplifies the body of Christ. And this is why the enemy keeps fighting that husband and wife, because they realize the enemy knows how powerful they can be if they can just come into agreement. If they can just come into agreement and stand and agree and believe God, the things that can be released in their life, it says that's a dynamic release and things will happen. If you ain't married, you got your prayer partner, two or three of y'all say, listen, I'm going through something. I need y'all to pray. I need you to stand in agreement with me. Now, I'm going to say something for real that I need you to pray about, and we're going to keep on moving. I need you all to stand in agreement with me, because tomorrow we have route bids. It's based on seniority, doing a whole building rebid. I need you to stand in agreement with me that I get a route that's off on Saturday and Sunday, and it's in an area that's conducive for me, and it's going to be well.
Amen.
It's done. And then the sidebar of that prayer, because this week I said, Lord, this was the first time this year, but last year a mouse jumped out on me. And then one day this week, the mouse, dead mouse, fell in front of me. I said, I'm not going to do this. You don't understand the struggles that I have to deal with to get your chips on this shelf. I moved the bag and that joker fell. I said, what is this? I said, thank God wasn't nobody in the store. The workers were there. I said, man, look, come here. I put a box over that little joker. He looked like he had been through, I don't know, fire. His skin looked all burned up. I smelt it, but I was like, you know, they got, you know, some issues and, you know, it might just be some, you know, some urine up from them. I moved that bag. And that joker said, whoop. I said, whoa. I said, yeah, some hot chips. For real. I said, Lord Jesus, come on here and sweep this joker up and take him out of his misery. And then my other store, they caught Big Ben, who had been terrorizing the store. They finally caught him. He was so big, his head, only his nose fit in the trap. The rest of his body, they showed him to me. They said, and then the guy would come in and say, can you do a funeral for my friend? I said, what are you talking about? You know, I'm a pastor. He said, Jones, I need you to do a funeral. I said, what you talking about, man? He said, man, I said, who died? He said, let me show you. He pulled out the picture of this joker hanging out the trap because the people had just came and got him. I said, well, I'm glad he gone because he ain't got to eat my chips no more. He was eating bread. That joker was swollen up. He was eating loaves of bread, just tanning it up. Wow. That's the side part. But y'all pray for me to get this right tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. I don't have to fight no dead mice, living mice. Amen. Listen, a few other points I want to point out, and we're going to close for the day. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is with you.
Yes.
Go to John 14, 17. John 14, 17 says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives what? With you now and later will be in you.
Amen.
So God's Holy Spirit, his presence was with you in that time. And that was what was unctioning you when you had the desire to say, you know what? I'm going to give my life to Christ. He was with you at that moment. So, and then he's with you. So wherever you go, he's with you. So you think you may have went somewhere alone? No, you didn't. Holy Ghost is with you. He's walking with you all the time because he said he's guiding you. He's going to pull you and guide you into truth. That's what didn't the scripture, didn't it say that?
Yes.
It said the Spirit who leads into all truth. So if he's with you, I need you to understand that he's with you for a purpose. He's with you to guide you into truth. So when you're in a position and you don't know what to do, you got to say, God, ask Holy Spirit. He's with you and he will guide you. The next verse, the next point I want to make. Let's go to John 20, 22. The Holy Spirit is not only with you, but he's in you. Now, Holy Spirit being in you, let me read the scripture verse and then I'll tell you. John 20, verse 22. Is this good? Is it all right?
Yeah.
John 20, verse 22. He says, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, that's not the verse I want. I think I wrote down wrong. Anyway, I'm going to explain this. That's not the verse I wanted. But Holy Spirit is in you.
Amen.
Now, why is he in you? He's in you to change your life and to bring you to a place to be born again.
Amen.
He's in you to transform you. Mm-hmm. So in other words, when Paul says that the old man has passed away, mm-hmm. and behold, all things have become new. The only way they're going to come new is through the power of God, the Holy Spirit that's within you. So that he can now begin to work on you,
yeah.
to begin to change your attitude, your mindset. He said that you got to begin to change your thought process because you got to allow this mind that was in Christ Jesus also to be in you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get there just by osmosis. I'm not going to get there just because I accepted Jesus Christ as personal and savior. No, you have to be in a place where understanding that he is in you. And now you have to allow him to do the work in you.
Yeah.
See, every time he's trying to pull you and grow you, and mature you, and you keep rebelling against it, you keep bucking up against it, you keep saying, and you resist it, how am I going to grow in that area if I don't allow Holy Spirit, who operates in me, to help change me in that area? Because he'll tell you where you need change at. But we'll say, you know, and I'm good because that's just me. And we settle and stay in that. You're evil, you're cantankerous, you're uneasy to be around, you're prideful, you know, you're arrogant. He'll expose and show you those areas. He said, I need you to be humble. I need you to walk in meekness. Because that's what he does. As he's in you, he transforms you. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, not conforming to this world anymore. See, the less we conform to the world, the more we become like Christ. So we have to be intentional to activate and be receptive and be responsive to Holy Spirit, because he's in you. Yes. Now, he is with you, in you, and then now when we get to Acts, he's upon you. Yes. Now, he came upon them, because when we get to Acts 2 next week, he came upon them. Now they were empowered.
Yes.
So now Holy Spirit is in you to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So that you can a witness to Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 1. I just read the verse, but I'm going to read it to you again. Go to Acts 1.
Good stuff.
Acts 1. Starting at verse 4, it says, and I know I just read it, I'm going to read it again. It says, once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be upon you. He's going to be upon you. Listen, keep reading. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the kingdom come to free you, to free Israel and restore the kingdom of God? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit does what? Come upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and all to the ends of the earth. So that day of Pentecost has come about so that you can be empowered with the Holy Spirit to be upon you. Because if it's not upon me, how am I going to experience, and how are people going to see the power of God move?
Yes.
When I'm releasing words of encouragement, just as those of y'all who were here last week, that was empowered by the Holy Spirit to encourage us, that as we minister to them, they agree with that word. It brought confirmation to some things, and then God just began to move, because those are signs and wonders that help us believe.
Amen.
If we don't, the only way that's gonna operate is through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm not special. I'm not like no unique, nothing. No, it's because you have the same opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is allow that power to work through you.
Yes.
It's upon you. Let him work through you.
Yes.
Let him move in you.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is in you to guide you and to use you.
Yes, sir.
If you weren't here Thursday night, I'm going to share this, and we're going to get ready to pray for some people and leave now. Joshua Wednesday. Now, that Wednesday morning, I got up and I thought I was going to get off work a little early, and I was going to pick up our pottery from this Bayou Pottery in Naperville. And they had finished the stuff where they put all the glaze on to make it look nice, because my finished product, you know, y'all seen the dull look. But then they put the glaze and put it under fire, and it comes out something looking a whole lot better. Pastor Nese did some ornaments. I did a little piggy bank helmet, football helmet. And so I had that morning intended to get it when I got off work. I put the receipt in my pocket because the receipt was needed to pick up the product. So I'm riding home. I got off work too late, and I didn't have time to go stop and get it, because on my way home on 55 to get to Naperville. So Joshua calls me on the ride. He said, Dad, is the place you all have the pottery at, is it in Naperville? Is it called Bayou Pottery? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm right by here right now. He said, I could pick it up. Do you have a receipt? I said, yep. Sent him a picture of the receipt and sent it to him, and he was able to pick up the items that we needed. Now, he was out there with his friend. And they were at the Apple store doing what they needed to do. And so at that moment, Holy Spirit was leading him.
Yes.
At that moment to call and say, is this the place? Because now Monday we were supposed to go pick it up. He heard us talking about it. But this is Wednesday. This is 2 days later. He got a whole lot going on. He ain't thinking about that. That's the last thing on his mind. But at that moment, Holy Spirit reminded him. And at that moment, God orchestrated that morning for me to put it in my pocket.
Yes.
See, when you're yielded to Holy Ghost,
yes,
he will order your steps. He will do what is necessary. And it's those small things where you got to acknowledge him at. See, we're looking at them big things and we're trying to find the big, magnificent, you know, things that he's going to crack the sky. No, it's the small inclinations that train your spirit so you can recognize him. And that's what you have to find yourself doing. Don't get caught up in trying to, you know, you're trying to go lay hands on 70 people and you know all this stuff, and you ain't prayed none, you ain't got no word in you. Them demons gonna run you crazy.
Yeah.
And you'll be sitting back to me, why people ain't getting delivered? You don't have no power. The power upon you. Get equipped. This is your time of equipping. When you come and hear the word, when you come in and be activated, when you come and get into the presence of prayer, it said that prayer builds that unity and that oneness, and you're going to see some things happen when two or three are gathering together in my name.
Yes.
And we're going to see it next week, because when those 120 people were there, and notice this, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, let me give you a tease of it. They were there for 10 days in one place. Wait a minute. I got to get my work. I got to go to work. I got to get my workout in. I got to watch my ratchet TV. I gotta get my Instagram in. I gotta get my Facebook in, my Twitter in, my Snapchat in. I gotta eat 7 times today. I gotta do, walk the dog. I gotta wash the car. I gotta go to the mall. And tomorrow I gotta do all that all over again. They had 10 days to be in the temple, to be in his presence. They were in a serious consecration, a serious time of being in his presence. So with all those people on one accord praying, you have to imagine that something's got to happen.
Yes.
And it says that the Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind.
Yes.
So the Spirit came in suddenly and sat upon them. Because why? They had been committed and devoted to prayer time, committed, devoted to being in fellowship together. So that's what happens when you commit your time to God. He'll begin to move in your life. When you commit that space and that time, he'll begin to, it'll happen for you. But see, we're waiting on the apostle to pray for me, the pastor, the elder, the deacon, the evangelist, the prophetess. You can't sit back waiting for a titled person to pray for you. Baby, your neighbor is anointed. Call them up. Let them pray for you. Let them begin to intercede for you. Because why? God will begin to do the work. And I just believe God. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, give God a hand of praise. Now, I've been sitting here and there's a couple of times they're trying to hit me. And I'm trying to figure this out. Is this my friend sitting back here? Tanya, is this you? And I kept looking, and I was like, "You didn't have your glasses on, you know?" I'm like, "You know?" I said, "This looked like Tanya." I said, "But no, this ain't Tanya." And then I'm looking again. I said, "This is Tanya." Now, this is, I love God, because I told you all. This is, if you just hang with me. Thursday night, I shared and I talked about, I said, when I'm on Facebook Live and we're praying and on that prayer time for 15 minutes, I only got 15 minutes, y'all. I don't go off praying in tongues and being deep and spooky, because my audience is people who may not be, I'm not saying she's not saved, she's saved. What I'm saying is people may not understand all that. And then I can be a deterrent where they're going to cut me off. The young lady said in the Thursday night Bible, she said, "They'll put you on mute." Like, I don't want to hear all that. Because you have to know order and discipline, because I got to pray in English because I need somebody to hear me. Now, she follows us on Facebook. She's getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning. She's on that prayer, or she'll replay it a little later. And then for her to walk through the doors today, I was not expecting this. It's a straight up surprise. She ain't told me nothing. She's going to be here. None of this. But God sees fit. That, you know what? Something transpired through 15 minutes of prayer of our obedience that said, you know what? I'm getting up this morning and I'm going to get in the building. Because last week we talked about, it's something about being in the building. And so now, and you're not going to leave out of here without anything, because on this. You came in January, so January we got 5 Sundays. So DJ, remember, we were trying to figure out how many cars to get. Right. So we only gonna do 4, but on the 5th Sunday, I was gonna get a 5th one away in the house. Okay. And so today is Family and Friends Day. She's a visitor. I'm gonna give her one of those $50 gift cards from Walmart to take care of the 5th Sunday. So every time it's the 5th Sunday, we'll give it away in the building. So now I was just calling if I was gonna do it today or wait till 5th Sunday. She's here. She's gonna get one of those $50 gift cards before she leaves. I ministered to her in the past on our lives when we were doing prophetic words of encouragement. But I want to encourage you today that because you made a sacrifice to get here today and because you pressed your way and you got up this morning intentionally and said, you know what, I'm going to church. I don't know what area you stay in. I know you don't stay near here. So, but you made it here. And I want to encourage you that because you made it here, God sees you and God has not forgotten about you. Everything that you're standing in need of, God has prepared a way for you. And it's getting ready to happen in this new year, in these beginning months, that God's going to begin to show and prove himself to you. Because there's been some things that, you know, you've been reassured, you know, uneasy about it. And, you know, just trying to make the right decision and do the right thing. And God, you were looking for clarity. You were looking for understanding in certain areas. And God said, I'm going to give you that in this hour because you sought me. And because you came seeking God, you even when you walked through the offering line, and I was like, she looked for me. You didn't even say anything to be able to make me aware of who you were. But God will reveal it by the Holy Spirit so that he knew that you would get what you need before you left here. So I'm grateful and thankful that God touched your heart, because this is just evident. When you do what God leads you to do, be obedient, be on your assignment, be on your post at 6 a.m. getting up praying as you're supposed to do, you don't never know what's going to happen. You never know how God's going to move. And that's what God will do. So right now, I release blessings over Sister Tanya. I speak life over her. I speak strength. I speak miracles, signs, and wonders. I speak blessings to her. And I ask that you will continue to pour out your spirit upon her and that you will give her her heart's desires in this hour, where she needs clarity, where she needs direction, where she needs counsel. I decree and declare that it's manifesting for her right now. And not only on top of that, I need y'all to get a seed in your hand. Oh, she about to get blessed. I ain't blessing her because I know her. I'm doing what the Holy Spirit say do. And I want God to prove himself to her so that she'll know without a shadow of a doubt, God ordered my steps today. Amen. If he didn't speak to me any other day, he spoke to me today. I want her to be reassured of that, because why? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being in evidence and in power. Yes. This is evidence and in power. Yes. They don't need us. We got to have the evidence of it. So get a quick seed in your hand. Brother Chance will get it from you. And we're going to sow. Minister Tony, give me one of your cards that I got in your envelope, and I'm going to replace it with the one from downstairs. Because I get it back to you when we get out of service. Thank you. Now, who else?
I love God.
Otha, you still on the last job that you had just started, like most recently, like a few months ago or something like that. You still on that job? So how long you been on that job now?
About 3 months.
So God is going to favor you in this job, in this position, in this place. God said that you continue to walk in obedience and continue to walk by faith and not by sight. God said he's going to do what he's commissioned for you to do, and he's going to favor you. But he said, don't lose your faith in the midst of it. He said, all you have to do is believe. And God's trying to strike your faith and push your faith to another level. And God wants you to believe and trust in him and knowing what he's promised you, what he's given you. And God's getting ready to pour out blessings in your life like never before. You're going to see things happen that you begin to pray about, that you begin to ask God for. So don't give up on God. Don't quit in believing in what he can do in his promises towards you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sister Tina, Justina. Tina, she knows who I'm talking to. I will come to you now. Numbers. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. Isaiah, I just heard that again. It's already getting better.
Amen.
I'm going to sing you that song because it just hit me again. And he said, the Holy Spirit told me to give it to you to let you know it's already getting better. It's already getting better. I want you to be comfortable in who you are. I want you to be comfortable, confident, and reassured in who you are. You cannot be anybody else but Isaiah. So I don't care who's doing what. That may not be your portion. You're Isaiah to do what Isaiah has been deemed to do in the earth. So as you go forward in life and as you do the steps that God keeps orchestrating for you to take, keep taking the steps forward and don't look back. Don't look back. Because that's not God's plan for you. You got to maintain your focus. Maintain your focus. I hear R.A. Burnham's vision for the year of focus. Focus. He said, I need you to focus. He said, and the more you focus in on the things of God and what God is instructing you for you to do, for the places for you to go, for the people for you to meet, touch, encounter.
Yes.
He said, be mindful where you allow your steering wheel to go. Oh, my God. So, just, you know, stay on the pathway that leads to purpose.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? When I say, let God keep leading the steering wheel. Because sometimes our steering wheel take us and drive us to places and things and stuff. And let me just see what's over here. You know what I'm saying? You know, my car can go a little further than, you know, my little other red dragon is a little more better shape. You know, I can drive a little further. So I got to be careful. Because sometimes my steering wheel will take me places I don't need to go.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to be right there. And that's what the Holy Spirit. So it's well. Amen. And God's going to bless you. I'm telling you. Watch. I'm telling you. Everything you believe in God for, everything you want to do, it's going to happen. Just watch.
Amen.
Just keep your steering wheel. Keep it steady. And moving forward. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Give the Lord a hand, praise. Deacon Jerry, I saw you walking up here and you were walking like you were a soldier again.
The Marine.
When as you were walking, God, he reminded me of that. He said, when you were in the Marine, he said, that thing, it built something in you. It enacted in it and it put some stuff intact in you that was missing even from childhood. You became disciplined. You became structured. You gained some honor. In that area by being in the military and making that choice and decision. Nobody made it for you, made it for yourself. Because couldn't nobody go out there and do what you had to do but for you. And so in that, God said, as you were walking, I saw you walking with a new, like just a new hope, a new joy, a new strength. That, you know what, it's not even in the sense of the natural where, you know, the pain is happening from the hip, the back, different things. It's God said, I'm going to allow that thing to be alleviated even the more. I'm going to release the pressure even the more. Because if God has given him out new spines, I'm pretty sure he can heal hips and backs. And he can make you whole. So I released that same grace because he was walking just like he was in the military again, like he was a Marine and that just upright, shoulder to shoulder square, step by step, one foot in front of the other. That's what they train you to do, for you to walk in that confidence, to walk in a reassurance, because you got to be bold and courageous to be a soldier. You can't be a Marine to be a Marine, because it ain't nobody, because Marines is like none others, you know. They, They not like Army. They not like Navy. They not like the other ones, the Naval. None of that. The Marines. And that's what God has built in him. And he honors that and respects it. So continue to walk upright and walk in those things and watch God move and bless. I got a seat in my hand. So Deacon Bryant, get Sister Tanya and Mike. I want her to share whatever she needs to share. I'm going to pray for Joshua. This is last Sunday with us. He leaves next Sunday going back to school. So we'll pray for him. Christian, when you leave? Next Sunday too? So we're going to pray for you also before you leave. Because this will be your last Sunday being here. And then we're going to leave down from this place. But this is my friend, Sister Shantae. We went to high school together. And Sister Tanya and I, we came out the same year. Shantae, you came in 94, right?
94.
And she came out with me in 93. Tanya, this is my friend from Curie. Condors for Life. Come on, just share with us and greet us. Tell us your name. Whatever you want to say, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. I bring you greetings from Kendricks Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where the Reverend Stanley Jamal Miller is my pastor, located 1107 West 79th Street. I have been trying to get here for months, but we always have something going on at my church. I follow Apostle, and I follow his wife as well, and I love them both. I haven't seen Apostle in years. Like he said, we went to Curie together. I was that nerd. With the thick glasses, the off-brand clothes, off-brand shoes. I was that girl. But yeah. But again, it is truly indeed a blessing to be here with all of you all. As I said, I am up six. I was late this morning, but I was up 6 o'clock this morning on Facebook Live. And I want to say out, this will not be my last time. I am sneaking here to my own church. So if I'm, please delete this. I have people already texting me, where you at, where you at? I said, I'm at my friend's church. So, but again, it is a pleasure, and I did feel welcome when I came in the doors.
Amen. Listen, I appreciate you coming today and sneaking away. So, Pastor, forgive her already. Amen. It's already well for her coming and sneaking in with her friend and seeing us today. So today you leave out of here with $261 more than what you came in with and a $50 Walmart gift card. So we appreciate you. God is good. Amen. He knows how to set something up. Amen. So we give God praise. Come on, Joshua, you stand, and Christian stand. We're going to pray for them simultaneously. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for these young people, God.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for their desire. The Holy Spirit is Isaiah, you stand up too, because you, come on, you go back to JJC next week, or whenever you might be already back. I'm not sure. Who else a kid? I mean, they and going back to school for college. Gabby's going back. Gabby starts back. So you're standing, a seat is standing in the gap for her.
Libby.
Zion and Adrian. We standing in the gap for our young people that's going back to college. They're starting next to this spring semester. So we're praying for all of them. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for these young people, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're bestowing grace upon them as they have endeavored to go into higher education.
Yes.
I ask that you will order their steps, that you will keep them, you will protect them, you will watch over them, God. That, Lord, as they go into their college courses, that you will allow them to achieve greatness. They will be on the dean's list. They will make academic successes that exceed their expectation. They will have favor with their professors, with their counselors, with their coaches, with their teammates, with every person they come in contact with, God. I ask that you just surround them with your love and kindness, and that you will keep them from danger seen and unseen, God. That they will walk by faith and not by sight. I decree blessings for scholarships, for increase, for overflow, that every need shall be met, Father God, and that you will supply and keep and watch over our children, God, as they go to and fro, Father God, as they go in distances away from home or they are locally here at home, God. Keep them safe on those college campuses.
Yes,
allow no hurt, harm, or danger to come nigh their dwelling, God. And we just ask that they will begin to acknowledge you, God. And they will remain faithful and committed to you. And that, God, they will give you glory. And they will seek you for counsel. They will have their own prayer life. And they will begin to cry out unto you on today, God. I speak those blessings over Isaiah, over Adrian, over Zion, over Gabby, over Libby, over Joshua, over Christian, over those young people that are not even here, that are attached to this ministry, God, that are connected to the body of Christ. We speak blessings over them as they go into their next semester. Jonas Jr., I speak blessings over him as he goes into his last semester to graduate Columbia College. I pray peace over him. I pray blessings over him, that you keep his mind stayed on you on today, God. Do it for your glory, Jesus. And God, we seal them in the blood. And it is so. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So are there any other first-time guests that's here today? Any other first-time visitors besides Sister Tanya? So Sister Tanya, before you leave, Prophetess Hattie and our team of hospitality visitors team will go down and they'll take you downstairs just to have you fill out a visitor card and greet you. And as we leave out today, you'll see them. Prophetess Hattie, raise your hand. I think Sister Winter's on the team. Whoever else may be on the team, they're going down there today. But I appreciate you all today. Thank you for just standing with the ministry and us moving forward. I believe in God for greatness. I believe in God for increase and overflow. Just because people move, that makes room for other people to come in. Amen. Y'all continue to pray for Sister Tashonda. She's moving to Missouri. Thank God for her. Amen. And what God has graced her to be a part of this ministry. She's still family. Amen. We still stay connected. She just sent me her new number. But God is well. It's good. Amen. I still talk to Sister Dorothy. Amen. She's in Virginia. But it's well. We're going to continue to press forward. And we're going to continue to do what God's called us to do in this ministry, in this community, in this neighborhood, in this city. Amen.
Amen.
So let's stand to our feet. Come on, Pastor Venice, and I forgot to make your announcement concerning wife support.
I know, you just didn't mean
So now you get to come and make your announcement and dismiss us. Isn't God great? He is good. He looks amazing.
Praise the Lord. Listen, next Saturday, join me via Zoom for wife support. We'll be back. I'll have the information up on Facebook. I'll also email it out, the link, but this will be the first one for the month of, for 2023, for the month of January. So I'm excited about that. So please join me via Zoom. So come on, let's lift our hands towards the Lord. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, oh God, for everything that our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, oh God. We thank you for the word on today, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God, and how it empowers us. It equips us, oh God, to do the thing that we can't do in our own flesh, oh God. And so, God, we give you thanks, oh God, that you sent the comforter to us, oh God. And you've given us that power, God, power to walk, power to make it through, oh God. It's by you, oh God, that we yet press on, oh God. And so, Father, keep us on this week, oh God, until we all meet again, oh God. We pray for peace in our homes, on our jobs, oh God, in our relationships with our families, oh God. Everything that we stand in need of, oh God, we believe you for it in this season. And God, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.